Joining us now is aircraft designer Phil Lockwood. Phil, welcome to AirVenture. Welcome back, as it is.
Yeah, it's great to be back, Steve. Wonderful to be back here this year after a year of absence.
That's right. And we are here, we're going to talk about the 25th anniversary of the AirCam, which is one of your designs. And you've designed some other aircraft along the line, along the way as well. Tell us a little bit about
that. Well, I worked in the ultra industry before that. I worked for a company called Max Air and helped develop the aerobatic version of the Drifter we call the Rocket, and helped on tuning the controls for the two-seater. So that was a fun time.
Tell us a little bit about how the AirCam came to be in existence.
Well, that's an interesting story. Okay, so I had, when I was working with Max Air with the Drifter, of course, it made a great camera platform because it was a pusher, and the front seat was like the AirCam right out in front. And so I had been working with film crews from National Geographic and Survival Anglia and BBC on different, mostly wildlife photography missions in the U.S. And a couple called the Bartletts, Jez and Den Bartlett, came to me one day, and they said they were working in the Namib Desert, and they wanted an ultralight that would be able to operate there. And so sold them two Drifters and went over and helped them get set up with them and get going, and actually taught Jen how to fly the Drifter. And it worked really well. They did a one-hour special for National Geographic called Survivors of the Skeleton Coast. And won an Emmy for that. And they were in Washington, D.C., receiving their Emmy. And the guys that were going to work on the project in the Congo said, "Who helped you with your airplanes?" Yeah, Phil Lockwood. So the next thing I knew, Nick Nichols and Michael Fay came and visited me in Florida and said, "We want to do what they're doing." "Okay, where are you flying?" "Well, we're going to be in the Congo." "Okay, what are we flying over?" "Well, we think we need to put it on floats because we're going to be right alongside the Songa River, which flows into the Congo River. And we take off and land, but we're going to be over the rainforest." "Okay, rainforest. So what are the chances of rescue if we go down?" "Oh, there's no rescue." No rescue there." So I said, "Well, you know, that doesn't sound like a real good deal, you know, because it's a single-engine airplane, the Drifter. It's a good airplane. But, you know, if there's no chance of rescue, I mean, everything we did in Namibia was over the desert. And, you could land. There were lots of landing options, right? So we had two airplanes, so someone was going to come get you if you didn't come back." So I told them about the AirCam. It didn't exist at that time, but I'd been working on it. Started, you know, because a lot of these wildlife photographers, they wanted to go low over the trees, but it was usually for a short time. So you knew you were going to be at risk for 2 minutes, and then you were back up to altitude. "Oh, I can glide, and I can land in that field, or I got places to land." So it was very limited risk exposure. It was, I could handle the balance, but to be over unlandable terrain all the time and to know that if you go down, there's no way out, you might as well be going to the moon, right? So I built the first one for them, and we did all the test flying in Sebring, and then we took it apart and shipped it to the Congo and actually assembled it and ferried it like 400 miles across the equator from Brazzaville up to northern Congo. And it worked really well.
We're talking with aircraft designer Phil Lockwood and the 25th anniversary of the AirCam. What were some of the safety features that you built in, knowing the terrain that the airplane was going to be flying?
Well, the first prototype actually had a BRS chute. Of course, you know, it was a prototype airplane, right? So we built it, designed it and built it in 6 months from scratch. I get people complaining to me about, you know, how long it takes to assemble their kit. And I'm like, okay, well, man, you ought to try making every single part from scratch. We had a BRS chute on it. Of course, we had two 582 Rotaxes at that time. And it would fly pretty well in one engine, right? So, and then we had long-range tanks put in it so that we could ferry it. I think we had 6 hours endurance in that plane. And it really did what it needed to do. some of the trips took us pretty far out over the rainforest. It was a great experience for me. You know, I was a kid, and I was loving it. It was just an awesome, awesome adventure. So I made two trips out there to fly with Nick Nichols and Michael Fay and their crew. And when I came back, I just couldn't help but think, you know what, I need one of these for me. This is just too cool. So we built a second prototype, very similar to AirCam 1, which is the one that EAA has. And there's this interesting story as to how EAA got that. You know, we had a fella come across the airplane. It got damaged in a landing accident sometime later after we'd finished our work. They donated it to the wildlife, I think, conservation folks out there, and they were using it. And so they had it in a shack, you know, in the rainforest. And another researcher came across it and told his brother back in Georgia that, hey, you know, I found this AirCam, you know. So they got it shipped back and called me, and then I helped them with restoration, just with information, drawings, and parts that they needed, because I had some parts left over. And they restored it, and that is the plane EAA has. But we built a second prototype, AirCam number 2, and took it to a few shows, including Oshkosh here. We had so much interest, I just felt, okay, we got to fully engineer this kit and put it out as a kit. And that was what we call Generation 2, which is what you see flying around for the most part. And, of course, EAA has a Gen 2 AirCam here. And then we recently just developed the Gen 3 AirCam, which is a three-seater.
So for those who don't know what the AirCam is, just describe the seating arrangement. And now I need to know what the three-seat looks like.
Okay, well, it's a tandem airplane. Of course, the front seat puts you, because it's a pusher, puts you way out ahead of the wing. And so you have visibility up, down, all around. It's really incredible. And then the second seat is just ahead of the leading edge of the wing. And then in the three-seater, the third seat is under the wing and almost on the CG. So it's really the only way you can have a three-seat airplane that can fly open without an egregious amount of drag, right? So three people in line. Everybody has a good view. Works great. And then, of course, we have an option for a full enclosure for flight in cold weather or if you want to fly faster.
Very good. With the AirCam, how many AirCams have been built approximately?
We're at about 300 kits, okay. Yeah, right now.
And are all of them used in just for recreational purposes, or have people repurposed them like you did as a camera ship?
Well, some people use them for photography and filming, particularly overseas. But for the most part, they're used for recreation. Yeah.
Where can folks find you on the field?
So we have an indoor display in the Bravo building, Collins Bravo, 2008 and 2009. And we also there, you'll find our Lockwood Aviation Supply display, the Rotax Service Center display side by side with AirCam. And then in the ultralight area, we have an Amphib and the new Gen 3 airplane down in the ultralight area. We love flying out of the ultralight area because it's a short grass strip and it really showcases the STOL capability of the AirCam. Quite easy to operate in and out of there with that plane. And then we have our yellow seaplane trainer out at the seaplane base. Call that one Chiquita.
The flying banana.
Yeah.
with being at the ultralight area, are you flying in the evening flight fest?
We do, yeah.
What is next on your agenda? What do you have on the drawing board that you can tell us about?
Well, I can tell you we just completed a new float rigging package for the Claymar floats on the AirCam. That's the most popular float, and that's been working out really well. Our demo trainer AirCam has that rigging package on it, and we've done over 3,000 water landings with it. We knew when we were going to do transition training in that airplane, and now we actually do multi-seat training as well. We knew that we needed a really rugged rigging package, and that just combines with those Claymar amphibious floats real well. We are always working on new stuff, right? We continue to develop the AirCam, and You know, I really love the platform, love the plane, and we're just going to keep trying to make it better.
All right. Any final thoughts today as we enter day two of AirVenture?
Well, what a great thing it is to be back here, really enjoying the show, enjoying all the people, all the airplanes. Yesterday in our booth, I know we had a tremendous flow of traffic. I don't think it's ever been any busier than it was. Congratulations to EAA for getting things back going again.
All right. Phil Lockwood is here, of course, the designer and builder of the original AirCam, and you can have an AirCam too if you want. You can take you can purchase the kit and build it yourself. And Phil, I'm sure you're able to have some technical advice for folks as they're along the building process as well.
Absolutely. We have a great engineering team, and we offer great technical support. You know, the AirCam kit is a pretty easy kit to build. It's a very complete package. Probably one of the most complete kits you can buy. Seat belts, upholstery, everything but glue and paint is really in the kit.
Good. And outside of Oshkosh, how can folks get more information about the AirCam?
Well, you go to aircam.com. It's an easy one to find. And, of course, if you want to see our videos, I still enjoy watching them, right? And I don't know how many times I've seen them. You can see those in either of the displays in the ultralight area or here.
All right. Sounds good. Phil, thanks for taking time to join us today. And this is EIA Radio.